So the first question is, 30 years or even more into your career, I'm curious, what do you still find inspiring about being an artist? What keeps you motivated and taps you into that initial feeling that made you want to be an artist in the first place?
30 years into me doing this music thing, the one thing that is still something that brings a glow to my eyes is the fact that people love the hell out of this music. And I think about myself when I first started listening to it and how I felt when I went to the club and when I looked at the DJ. Now I'm in the position of people looking at me, coming to listen to me and to feel what I put out there. So that has always been the same, like throughout the years. It's just a love for this music, love for this type of music, and the people that listen to it are from day one have always been full of love. You know, you can go in a club or whatever and, you know, be around a bunch of people and it just be maybe arguments or fights or whatever, but this music is just, it's just too much love in it. So that has been the same since day one. And that's just what made it so loving. That's what made me fall in love with it.
So in a way you kind of see yourself on the dance floor when you're standing up there, you see like a part of yourselves and those people getting down to your music in a way.
Yeah. I remember myself being out there like that. So I can kind of feel what they feel, you know, and that's why most of the time when I play, I'm kind of interacting with the crowd because I just know what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the fact that I know what was given to me musically. So I just try to deliver the same thing to the generation that's out there now.
Do you think that, I mean, how does that stay the same across like the different places that you play and everything too? Because I mean, I'm sure there's the deeper connection to Detroit, of course, but do you find you've played all over the world now and such like that? Do you think it transcends location or anything like that?
It's universal.
Yeah.
This is universal. So all around the world, you do get the same type of reaction, more so when you're in an intimate setting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm in a huge stadium or I'm doing like a big festival, then I can't interact with everyone. We could kind of communicate with hands or fists in the air, but the communication is definitely different when you're in a smaller venue. So that, you know, something that hasn't changed from venue to venue, from city to city, state to state. It is kind of the same. And I'm always true to self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still play the kind of music that I love to play. And people most of the time feel it the same way that I deliver it each time.
And so, you know, you talk about, you know, communication among yourself and the audience. And clearly, when it's a smaller room, that can be amplified. But what about movement, a festival that's near and dear to your heart, especially this past year when you're hosting your own stage? Do you find that the communication maybe the communication can be as palpable just because that's a festival that you have so much history with?
Repeat the last, you said the communication can be or can't? I didn't hear that.
Is the communication at Movement maybe not as affected by the larger setting because you have this connection to Detroit and that festival in particular? Do you find the connection is just as strong, maybe, as an intimate setting?
Yeah, it is definitely strong. It may be stronger because of the fact that we are all in Detroit at that time. Everyone is here at the home of techno, where it all originated. And people come here and they expect a certain sound or a certain type of party. And then it's like so many more people that know me now than mm-hmm. knew me before. And with me having the stage, it was very personal for people that would come and talk to me and tell me, I'm going to be at your stage on Monday. I'm going to be at your set on Monday. And like to this day, we've got like 7 months past it, and people go, I was at your set at Movement, and I loved it. Yeah, so it's definitely it's a huge space, but it feels like an intimate setting when we're doing that music, that Movement Festival. That's definitely the truth.
Do you know if you're gonna host your own stage again next year, or is that something you could tell me, or maybe it's under wraps?
I'm probably going to do it again.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do you think, given that connection, do you think that overall the scene in Detroit is just as strong today as it was when you first started? Like, do you see maybe a community of artists rising through the ranks the way you did and Moody Man did and Carl did and all the people who are now just associated with like the history and the legendary status of the city?
The legendary DJs and the people that started, that were here in the beginning, have just floated over the top, rising. I believe around the world, people are looking for a certain kind of sound. So maybe if it's some soulful beats that were created here, then they would play in a different space than people like me would play. Because we've all got different sounds. There's different genres of this music and different crowds that want to listen to each type of music. So as far as what's going on now with the generation that's developing, first of all, I'd love to see that. Secondly, there's more recognition because I believe a lot more people are starting to realize that the music was actually created here and not elsewhere. So they're doing their research, they're doing their homework to find out who these artists are. And they're just kind of starting to skyrocket, just out into oblivion, going all over the world, doing these parties, et cetera. So there's a large amount of respect, but there with that comes knowledge. People need to do their homework, do some research, and find out where this music came from because it's making a world of difference with the artists that are out here right now.
So would you say kind of now Detroit's getting the respect it deserves, whereas maybe in the past it didn't?
It's getting respect. The respect it deserves, that goes back to my original statement. A lot of people don't know where the music came from. A lot. And I know, like, the younger generation, a lot of them just don't know. They just know what they hear. That's just like you turn on the radio and you're hearing The Weeknd. And you know it's The Weeknd. And you know the music sounds good. But do you know when he started? Do you know his history? Or how his type got started, et cetera. Do you know J Lo? You like J Lo's music? Do you know J Lo's history? We're getting respect here, and without being political, there is more respect deserved. But it just depends on who's doing their homework and their research to find out where the music came from. Because like I said, there's a ton of people that just don't know. They're just out here partying.
Which is fair enough, but also at the same time, the fact that people are coming up to you however many months after movement to say, I loved your set at your stage, I just feel like that's a sign that, I mean, it's like you just said that more people are doing their homework, and also that you and your fellow artists are teaching in the best way possible through that direct experience of, because I mean, yeah, I mean, you I feel like you'd have to go to Detroit. It's like now you know that the music came from here. You could read it on Wikipedia, but until you go to the dance floor, that's when it's like, okay, now you understand,
We're in it. Right.
right? Yeah.
Right. So you're right. Fair enough. Right. More and more people go, I loved your set at Movement. I was there for your set at Movement. So those are people that know the growth and the time it took for me to get to a certain point, because it definitely took a while. And I'm grateful for it and for all the people that are supporting and the people that have helped me get to this point.
I mean, they're equally grateful for you and your music. I'm sure of that.
That's very nice of you to speak for them. Thank you.
What's one thing that I'd love to hear is, do you have like a favorite story from, back in the day when things were just getting started? I mean, I'm sure you have so many great stories, but is there one that like really sticks out that you'd like to share?
When I first got started, besides Moody Man coming to see me play and just telling me to start my record label, that's one of my favorite things. He had the confidence in me to start my own record label, and he told me that I was going to start my record label. He asked, "Well, are you ready for your label?" "No, I'm not." "Yes, you are." So that was one of my favorite conversations. And because he's such a humble, supportive person, I just love him. I just love him to pieces. And he doesn't hesitate to let it be known, the people that he cares for in his community. If you're working hard for yourself, he's right there for you. So that was one of my favorite times. Another is when I created the original Walk in the Park, and I got a call from this gentleman named Tim Price. He used to manage Richie Houghton, and Richie had the Minus label, and he also had the Plus Eight label. And Plus Eight was just hard techno, and Minus is like minimal techno. He says, "Minx, Richie wants to talk to you about your track." And I says, "Okay, what track?" He says, "I don't know. It's just one of your tracks." Okay. Little to no information. A few days later, I get a call from Magda. Magda was one of my Women on Wax DJs, now living in Berlin. She says, "Girl, what just, I'm going, what are you talking about?" And she said, "Your track was played at this festival, and everybody knows about it." And she's like, "It was driving people crazy." And I said, "Well, what's the name of the track?" She says, "I don't know, but I know it's yours." So this led me to, wondering, what could she possibly be talking about? Okay, so I have two EPs. I'm thinking it's the second one. I'm thinking it's the one that recently came out, and it's four tracks on it. So that didn't help me to figure anything out. So fast forward to maybe 2 weeks later. Tim calls me back and says, "Minx, Richie and I are going to be in Toronto this weekend, and he wants to see you." I said, "Okay. Toronto?" He said, "Yes, we're going to come to Detroit so he can meet with you. He wants to, have coffee, whatever you want to do." And I said, "Okay, that's nice." He said he wants to talk to you about that track. I said, "Okay." And he said, "Do you know?" I said, "Do you know which track yet?" He said, "No, it's the first track on one side of your EP." Well, of course, it's the first track on both sides. So then I narrowed it down. I'm like, I don't know what this could be. I didn't know which one it was, because the other side was called Got House, and it was a spoken word track, Techie with Diamond Dancer. So the day before they were to come here, Tim called me again, and he's like, "We're looking forward to coming to see you tomorrow." Richie's yelling in the background, "I love you, Minx, and I can't wait to see you. And I broke my toe." And he said he broke his toe at the party. So he's like, "I got it all wrapped up and whatever, and I'm gonna see you tomorrow." So we all met downtown, and they told me the name of it was A Walk in the Park. And he said Ricardo Villalobos played it at a festival. And Richie, he said, "I almost broke my neck trying to get to see what it was." And he said, "Oh, that's my girl's label from Detroit. That's Minx." And he said he went to the record store and bought the copies, all the copies that were in the store. And I forgot what country he was in when this happened. He said, but Ricardo put it on. And he says all these people are just going crazy. And he's like, the bass line is thick and this is ridiculous. And he's like, do you have any other tracks? And I told him, well, yeah. And he said, well, anything you got with this bass line, I want it. I'm gonna help you get your stuff out. I'm gonna do distribution. I want to put it on my label. And he said, because more people need to know about this. And he was asking who was doing my distribution. And so we set up a few meetings and conversations, rather, for him to actually put it out. So he mastered it and was playing in Windsor one night. And Windsor's just across the way from me in Canada. And he's like, well, come to the club. I had to play in Windsor that night too, but they were going late. So Manda and Daniel were at this party and they came to the club where I was and waited until I was done so they could walk me to the club. I think the club was called Wired in Canada. And he said, Richie's waiting on you. Let's go, girls. Damn, Manda is so crazy. So we walked to the club. And then I it went in and she's here, she's here. This is crazy. It's like, oh my God, I just took your track off. He's like, can somebody get her some champagne? I'm sorry, pour me a glass, and we all toasted. And he said, I want to play that shit again. And I just took it off. Watch this. He played the track and he played it for probably about 12 minutes, kept looping it in. And the people, when he, they were going crazy. And I was in awe. I was like, well, my goodness, because it took me 45 minutes to make the track. Because when he and I, had coffee, I told him, I said, I did that in 45 minutes. I didn't think that was a track. He was like, that shit is good. That's some good shit. And, yeah, so he played it over and over and over. He said, I mastered it down. So, we're going to put it out. And he said, this is going to be good for you. It's going to be really good. And he was right. A lot of people know me because of A Walk in the Park. And I named it that because I was like, oh, that was easy. Call it A Walk in the Park. And I did it in a reason. And that's what little to no, I barely knew how to do production, but I did it. And Moody Man put that out for me. Did the pressings and the distribution and all that. So yeah, that is one of my favorite stories because that was great.
I mean, I could only imagine, just seeing that song you made in 45 minutes, having that kind of, because if it was Ricardo, he must have played it. That must have been in Europe when he played it,
It
right?
was in Europe.
Yeah. So to know that your music had that international reach before the internet, it wasn't just, hey, let me email you this. It was, Richie, I mean, how someone had got their hands on a vinyl thousands of miles from where you are, so like, what was that like for you just to know that your music was reaching people like all over the world at that point?
You had to do some serious studying to find that track in a bin of vinyl from a label that was just started. I mean, it's great. One day, right after I signed with Richie to have the track put out, it was May, and it was time for the Winter Music Conference, which is now Miami Music Week. And I was in Miami a couple of weeks later. It wasn't out yet. I get a call, and this gentleman says, my name is, I forgot the name, from South Africa, and I'd like to talk to you about the track that's playing right now. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, the one that they're playing right now. I said, I'm in my hotel room. I don't know what's playing at any. He says, we have people in Miami. He said, do you know DJ Fresh? And I said, I've heard of him. He said, he is at a party and someone plays a track. And he said, and we want to license it. And I said, well, maybe was it Walk in the Park? And he said, I believe that's it. And I said, well, you can send me an email and we can try to work this out because it's with Minus. So we're gonna have to talk to Minus Records about this. And he says, okay, because we wanna use it for a compilation. And they worked it out through Richie's label. They did work it out and it was on this DJ Fresh compilation. But one day I was talking to a gentleman years later. He says, oh my God, your Minx, you made that Walk in the Park in South Africa. And I said, yeah. He's like, oh my God, I hate that track. I go, oh my God, I saw it. He's like, they play it on the record, on the radio every day. I said, well, that's good for me, not for you. Not my loss. But then I started thinking about, well, yeah, that's a good thing. I mean, yeah, he heard it so much that you got tired of it, but that's fine. That's fine with me. So, but yeah, just the reach that it has had, that's been unbelievable. And I think for the most part, the reason that is really trippy for me is because I made it so fast. Yeah.
I almost feel like that's a different kind of like award for an artist. Like somebody comes up to you and tells you they've heard your track so many times that they can't stand it. That's like that's worth like celebrating in and of itself if it's that
Oh
popular
yeah.
in that
Oh yeah. I'm
way.
with you on that. Yeah. It's like, well, okay. Was weird. Rude, but
Yeah,
weird.
he was rude, but you know,
Yeah.
it's like you said, good for you, bad for him.
Right. Right.
On the new 20th anniversary of Walk in the Park, you did your own a new edit of the track, correct?
Yes.
Did you feel that same energy in a way of when you made it in 45 minutes? Did that kind of come rushing back when you got your hands on it again?
It was different for me this time, although I did keep that in mind. And the fact that the elements were so good, it was not difficult for me to finish it in a day. So, yeah, I kind of like more knowledge on production. I kind of beefed up the sounds in the track. But I kind of had in my head what I wanted to do for this mix, for this edit. Mix and I love it, and I'm just looking forward to people hearing it when it comes out. Mine is coming out in the last wave, and we'll have final and all that good stuff. So yeah, I'm looking very forward to it.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely super cool, and it's a great collection of remixers on it as well. You got the OGs like you, and then some newer artists. And I'm curious, what's it like? How do you feel when you see these newer artists like Artelon, you know, reinterpret that track? I mean, you know, I don't know how old he is, but you know, he must have been very young when it came out, and now he has his own career and he's putting his spin on it, you know. So like hearing his version, how does that make you feel?
It very good. That's awesome. Especially like you said, were you even into music when this came out? Because that's just having that knowledge of the music or doing, the research or listening. First of all, the music's timeless. This is not like, oh, this is such an old track or whatever. You know it's old because of its date. But like me and my edit or remix, et cetera, you add different elements to it. It just feels good to hear what someone else's interpretation of this track could be. So, I like Artelon's productions. So what he did, it absolutely sounds wonderful. And the soul clap. Yeah, I just love hearing what people do to these tracks that I produce. So,
Did you hand pick all the remixers yourself? Was that those are like your top choices?
somewhat, I sometimes when you do this kind of a job, you don't really know if people would be interested in, you know, doing this type of work for you. So I'm happy that they said, hell yeah. So yeah, definitely. Definitely my good people.
I mean, they now they have they're a part of that legacy, you know, the legacy that extends back to all those stories that you just that you just told.
Right. Yep. Yeah, be a part of it.
I've a more gen a more general question about the scene, like I mentioned before. And you know, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, there Beyonce put out a whole album this year that's essentially all dance music, and now she's in the nominations for the list of nominees for like the best dance recording album and track. You know, Beyonce's on there, and so you know, there's been some criticism saying that like maybe she doesn't belong there because she's not like she's taking the spotlight away from dance artists and she's just kind of like dipping her toes in it and such, you know. And so you being such an originator of dance music, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, you know, with a pop giant like Beyonce deciding to, you know, make a shift towards more clubby styles of dance music.
First of all, yeah, I saw that a lot of people were very upset about that. To each his own, you know. I do agree that she's going to get a lot of attention for this type of music that she produced that we have been doing for freaking decades. The one thing that I appreciated with her, the music that was produced for her, is the fact that she used some of our original people. She used the Big Frida. She used the Honey Dijon, Lou Solomon, Terry Hunter. Someone on her team did some research to actually pull these people. So what does that say about or to them? Because these are people that are putting this music out today, which is, like I said, it's going to amp them. And when it amps them and puts them in the spotlight, then that's going to shed more light on us as well. Because, as I mentioned before, if you do your homework and know where the music came from, then you'll know what everyone is about. And people looking at Beyonce doing house music, which I'm sure a lot of Beyonce's listeners don't even know what this music was before she did it. Okay? Because you got these younger people that listen to her tracks. So now that she's put it out, that makes a lot of younger people go deep into the house music to see who else is doing stuff like this. Or you may get like suggestions off Spotify or wherever you listen to your music. But you can find out about more about us artists this way. So I think it was, I don't have a big problem with the fact that she did it. I think that one, yes, she's gonna take the spotlight, but it's also gonna say, here are the people that also do it. So I didn't have much of a problem with it at all. Yeah, I just know that one of them tracks is hot as hell. Stupid. I mean, I'm for really, that's some of that stuff is very nice. So, you know, hats off to the producers.
Did you is that one you played in any of your sets? If you
I
remember?
have not.
Okay.
I've not. No, I will remember that. No, I didn't. Yeah, I did not download the one track that I like. I just listened to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't have a problem, and that's because I always run out of time, and I just sometimes I don't think about things. But one of them I would definitely play. That's a
Yep.
pretty much a smoker. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, tracking back a bit to what you said about involving, you know, Honey Dijon and her peers, I think that's the point where it's like no one could accuse Beyonce, at least to a certain degree, of like copying or, you know, stealing or anything, 'cause she went all the way back to the beginning, you know. And so like if anybody who, I mean, it's she like you said, she did her homework and she honored the roots, which is all anybody can do if they want. You know, everybody takes inspiration from different types of music, and you know, if you honor the roots, then you did your job. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, that it was done in a respectful way. If you know, looking for an artist to get respect, I think that was a respectful way to have done it. Now, if it was all, I mean, I've seen people online talk about, she used this sample and this is old, blah 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 blah. We use samples too. But it was that, you know, the fear of being the spotlight being stolen was the main issue, I think, for people. But I knew, I think it's great. You know, a lot more people are going to know about house music. I just don't want it to become a thing where they always think it's going to be pop,
Yeah.
because, you know, I'm going to keep it deep. So.
I mean, and yeah, at the end of the day, you know, what dance producer would really say no if Beyonce reached out and asked you to work with them? Who's gonna say no to that?
I hate you, but I love you. Right.
I have another question, kind of generally, you know, about your thoughts on the scene. And, you know, a pivotal moment in your own career was when you came out as queer, which was that last year? Or yeah, that was last year, correct?
2021.
2021. Yeah. And so, you know, and we spoke about that in our last interview, and I've read about it. You know, you've always remarked on there is this very, there's a swell of support, and you faced a lot of support. So in that regard, there's certainly hope, but, you know, of course, we don't live in a perfect world, and there's still issues with inclusivity and such. And so I'm just wondering, to younger artists who may be struggling with, you know, whether they're queer or whatever it is they may be struggling with in that sort of regard of showing the world who they are, what would you say to them if they're, these are like young artists who feel that way?
I will say, child, stop it. You have to live for yourself. It was a great struggle for me to actually move forward with this. It was a struggle. But I was tired of hiding. I had to get away from the fact that I was concerned about what someone else would think about me. My preference should not have anything to do with you for several reasons. I am what I am, and I mean, I'm still Minx. I'm still a DJ. I'm still your friend. I'm still one of your favorite people. If there's something that's holding you back, that thought process is going to be strenuous and cause nothing but strain to your everyday life. And you want to get rid of that type of energy, because that is heavy negative energy on you. And I wouldn't suggest anyone keep that on them. So, you know, if you want to share your lifestyle with others, then that is your choice. You just have to find out a way to do it. You gotta find out a way to communicate with people, just so you can just let go of the heaviness of keeping this on you and to yourself every day. But I felt the weight of the world lifted off me when I was scared as shit as well, because I was just going, what's gonna happen? Oh my gosh. It was a lot. It was a lot on me. And it just took like my daughter rubbing on my back and going, Mom, live your truth. I'm going, what? You? I was like, oh, I'm good. I am so good right now. She's like, I'm here for you, my manager. I'm right here for you, my publicist. I've got up early. I'm here, you know, because I did like to post at like 8 a.m. And he's like, I'm awake. I'm right here. New York, booking agent. I'm awake. I'm here, Minx. But the support that you could get, like, this is a different type of family to have. When when I came out, it was just a whole slew of different people that was supporting. You just be surprised if, you know, at the support you get. It's not bad. That's not bad. It's a bunch of beautiful people out there, whether they're queer, straight, or whatever, it's a lot of people that are very supportive. So I would say go for it. If you want to share it with the public, try not to stress about it. Take your time. It's causing a lot of stress, inner stress, negative energy. You need to let it out. Let it out. One of the first posts I got after I put it up was from Hadi Jaja. She was like, "Girl, finally. Now come out here and let these children have it." I was going, "Oh my." Bless Madonna. It was just so many positive people out there supporting. So don't knock it. It's a lot. It's a lot of beautiful people in the world. Yes, it's some people that can be harmful, hurtful, but you gotta hold your head up. You gotta hold your head up and just keep flowing. And
It's not
call me.
e It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful to hear. Thank you.
Massey. I mean,
Yeah.
no problem.
and well, then just to close it out, just a quick question. You know, as we enter the final weeks of 2022, what do you have planned for next year, for 2023?
It's looking bright. I got a new website that just launched. So I'll be adding merchandise to it and hopefully growing my merchandise base. Looking forward to a bunch of summer festivals, doing more festivals around the world. I've got at least four, five releases for my label ready, and several more tracks for other labels. We have a bunch of projects lined up. I'll be doing my residency every quarter at Spotlight. I will be getting back into mentorship for Women on Wax. So I'll be mentoring more ladies, young ladies that want to come forward and get some support or whatever. I'm here as a mentor, so I'm picking back up on that. Yeah, there's some projects I cannot mention, but it's a lot of good coming out for 2023, 2024. I'm just excited about it all. So.
Yeah, I mean that sounds like an incredible year planned. You mentioned the mentoring's happening again. Do you like know who you're going to be mentoring, or is there perhaps some the information you could share now of, you know, people who are reading or watching or listening, how they could potentially become your mentee if that's still available?
They could definitely get in touch with me. Inbox me on Instagram. It will be lost. Email. My email is queenbeats@gmail.com. That's a good way to get in touch. And yes, I already have a couple of people on deck. And some people have asked me to start the Women on Wax, like support, like managing these ladies, like I used to do, but I don't think I'll do that. I'll more so do the mentoring. So I've got a couple, two or three people that I'm already working with. And yeah, you will start to see them shine.
I have no
So.
doubt. I have no doubt. That's really exciting. Great. And so that was the end of the, you know, the primary interview questions. Next up, we just have the speed round. Do you have any questions about that just before we get going?
Speed round. I don't know any questions, so I guess we'll just go at it. Go for it. I don't know what we're doing. Let's go.
Great. So the first question is, do you prefer Elvis
The Beatles, 100%. I
the
grew up on the Beatles. I know probably all of their songs. I
Beatles?
love the Beatles. Love, love, love me do. Eleanor Rigby. What else do you need? The Beatles.
I am right there with you, I promise you that. Sitcoms or stand-up comedy?
Stand-up comedy.
Coffee
Stand
or
up.
tea?
Tea. All day.
Biggie or Tupac?
Big Pop. I don't know. I love them both. Tupac. Tupac.
Dogs or cats?
Cats.
Ramen or pho?
Pho, vegan.
Pizza or sandwiches?
Pizza. Give me some pizza. I want some tonight.
Club or festival?
Club.
Snow or beach?
Beach.
Lake or ocean?
Ocean.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
The power to press a button in my car and eject the car in front of me the hell out of my way.
Animal.
Oh, that wouldn't be a superpower. I would be flying would be a superpower. That would be a good one.
Yeah, the first thing you said would be like a car power.
Yeah, right, right.
Analog or digital?
Ooh. Digital.
House or techno?
What? Yeah. House.
Drum and bass or trap?
Oh shit. Drum and bass, because that was hard.
Pop or hip hop?
Hip hop.
What's your favorite color?
Red.
Do you like pineapple on your pizza that you're going to get tonight?
Yes, I do.
And then the last one is, what's your guilty pleasure TV show?
Oh, my. You know what? You can erase this part. I don't watch much TV. I don't watch very much TV. I like movies more so than anything, but The Walking Dead is probably top of anything I've ever watched.
I mean, did you watch it all the way through? I know it just like the season finale, the series finale, like just
it
came.
It just happened. I didn't watch this. I didn't watch this last season because my mom just passed. So I kind of was, yeah. So I haven't watched it yet.
I mean, you've watched all the rest though?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
It's been on for so. It's that's admirable. It's been
started
on
in 2010, June 2010. Yeah. That
stuck with it all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was the end of the speed round. Definitely. Always enjoy those. So that is the overall conclusion of the entire interview. And
okay.
Yeah, I'm very, very grateful to speak to you again, Jennifer. That was a great, great, great interview. I love the stories that you told and the insight that you had.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so. Is there any maybe final notes you'd want to add before you sign off?
Just keep your eye on the prize, seriously, because I wanted to give up so many times, and I just did not. It just takes the right support to catapult you into that next horizon. Just need the right people to back you. You need the right friends. So stay positive.
Absolutely. Great, great, great advice. Thank you again, Jennifer. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening and have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You as well.